So yesterday I had the privilege of hosting a simulcast from Lifeway featuring Priscilla Shire. She did a great job ministering to the ladies. There were, if their numbers were correct, there were over 40,000 people participating in the simulcast, and it was really a great time for our ladies from the reports and everything that came out of that. So they are also supporting the Tim Tebow mission. And there's more information on that. We'll be putting out more information on that in the future as well, that they use that money to basically save babies that are put to death, essentially. So please remember that. Women's Bible study. Guys, we need to catch up. We're a few behind, but that's okay. We will worship together in spirit and in truth this morning. We will be in Colossians chapter 1. We are going through what I call fireside chats, and it was just an opportunity for us to take a deep breath, kind of reset ourselves, because we just came through a great VBS season and the summer season, and we wanted to kind of reestablish what we need to focus on as a church. During week one, we talked about reflection. We reflected on God's grace to us as a church. Week two, we talked about repentance and the need for repentance, and how actually repentance is not a harsh word. It is actually a refreshing word if you're a child of God, that when you repent and you are cleansed of your sins and you understand what that means and the refreshment that comes when God embraces you, then the need for repentance and how we need to always have a repentant heart before our Lord. And then we talked about being renewed. Last time we were together, we talked about being the renewal of our spirit and how God renews us on a daily basis. Now this week we're going to talk about refocus and how we need to refocus as a church family on what's most important. Lord willing, if we're able to come together next week, we're going to talk about rebuilding. And it's not so much the re part, but I want to keep the theme, right? Rebuilding. But how we build upon Christ in our lives, week in, week out, day in, day out, minute in, minute out, and what that looks like and what that means. After that, we'll pray whether we go back into our study of Mark or whether we do something else. But be in prayer for that. I think we're going to go back to Mark on Sunday mornings. And I'm really pondering over what to do on Wednesday nights because we're going to get the air conditioner fixed here very soon. So we're going to try to start some type of Wednesday night programming. We don't know what that looks like just yet. But be in prayer for that. One thing that I am thinking about is actually going through the tenets of the Baptist Faith and Message on Wednesday nights. And the reason to do that is basically understand why we are a part of the Baptist denomination and what that means as far as our belief in God and salvation and life and baptism and works and church membership, so forth and so on. That may be what we do on Wednesday nights as an adult group. Still pondering that, so be in prayer for that. Also, I still owe the group that we started our discipleship study with to finish that as well. So keep that in mind as we move forward. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 9, but before I do, understand this is a prayer. This is a prayer that Paul is actually praying to the Colossian church, and we'll dive into that a little bit more, but let's focus on God's word. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. For this reason also, so Paul's referring back to the previous verses, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We ask that we will walk worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you. Help us to be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that you will give us great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to you as you enable us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You've rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that you love. In Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. So the book of Colossians is an interesting book. It's a book written by the Apostle Paul. It's a prison epistle. So Paul was in prison. It was written approximately sometime between 60 AD and 62 AD. Some people will extend that into 63 AD. The time frame doesn't really matter, but it is when Paul is in prison. So we know it's in that reference point. Paul has never been to Colossae, the city, but he is getting a report from a guy by the name of Epaphras. Okay, we'll mention him. He's mentioned earlier in the chapter. He comes to Paul in prison. Paul's under house arrest, shackled and chained to Roman guards, going to stand trial eventually and eventually be martyred for the cause of Christ. But he was writing to this church, a church in Turkey, basically, that he has never been to. He's never met these individuals face to face. And he hears this report from Epaphras, and if you have your scriptures open, because I forgot to tell Luke to add this one in, but if you look back into verse 7, it says, "You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." So Epaphras has come to Paul, and basically, the commentaries I read believe that Epaphras is actually the one who started the church. He probably was with Paul in Ephesus and was there with Timothy in Ephesus for a time. And then he went back to Colossae and started this church. And now he's visiting Paul while Paul's in prison. And when we see here that Paul is caring for this church by writing to them a letter, he's wanting to encourage them. And then he starts his letter here in chapter 1 with a prayer. And he asks them, or tells them basically, he's going to pray for them and has been praying for them. And I don't know about you, but if you receive this letter from the Apostle Paul, the renowned apostle who is serving Christ and is in chains because of it, and you understand and you get this letter encouraging you, there is a real case to be made that from the time they read this letter and they know that Paul is praying for them, that any walk they have in the Christian life from that point forward can be partly attributed to the fact that Paul is praying for them. And what a powerful prayer he prays for them. So let's dive into this. There are basically eight things we're going to look at in the prayer, and then we're going to talk about the gospel that Paul gives at the end of the prayer. But we're going to walk through this prayer kind of step by step and see how Paul calls them to refocus on what's good. And before we dive into these eight things, understand that Paul's not saying that they're not doing these things. As a matter of fact, in verse 8, he says, Epaphras told him, your love in the Spirit, you're serving Christ. And so because of that, for this reason, in verse 9, we haven't stopped praying for you. And the first thing that Paul prays is that they be filled. Number one, they be filled with the knowledge of His will. They be filled with the knowledge of God's will. This is the first thing that Paul is praying for these other Christians, that they understand what God's will is. And previously, we had a study on Wednesday nights here where we actually talked about how we can know God's will and how there is a mystique around that, that people want to know, oh, who should I marry, or what job should I take, or what path should I go down? And so we tried to peel the onion, if you will, and look back at what Scripture says about how we can find God's will. And if you look in what the Scriptures say, God's will is that you be saved, because you can't start following God's will until you are saved, right? Makes sense, right? He wants to have a relationship with you. Number two, that you're sanctified, so you're constantly growing in grace. You're constantly learning of Him. How do you do that? Because your book is open. The Bible is there. The Scriptures are being impacted and poured into your life. Saved, sanctified. Number three, Spirit-filled. You're led by the Holy Spirit because you have read God's Word, because you are studying God's Word, and then you continue to study God's Word. So saved, sanctified, Spirit-filled, suffering, because it is God's will that we suffer for the cause of Christ, and a lot of people cringe at that. It's not that we're suffering just because we want to suffer. It's no, we're suffering because of Him, right? Because of our Christian witness. And then lastly, that we are submissive. Those are just five things. Now, it's a large study. We don't have time to go into it this morning, but those are just five things that Scripture says we should be if we want to do God's will. Saved, sanctified, Spirit-filled, suffering, and submissive. So Paul is saying, I am praying for you that in each one of those areas you will grow in the grace and knowledge of God's will, that you will grow in your sanctification, that you will grow in your submission to Him, that you will grow in the fact and be strengthened in the fact that you're going to suffer for the cause of Christ. And Paul is saying, I want you to be filled with this knowledge. And then he says, the second point, if you will, the second main point, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is how we understand God's will. This is how we learn what God wants us to do in our lives. This is what He is praying for these Colossian Christians. And wisdom here is basically insight, it's intelligence, it's clarity. So Paul is saying, I want God to give you the knowledge of His will in this wisdom, in this intelligence, in the insight as He gives it to you through His Word, as you are in your prayer closet learning from Him. I want Him to give you this clarity of direction that you need to go, how you need to walk, how you need to walk with Him. But not only does he say wisdom, he also says with spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. So it's one thing to have worldly wisdom, right? Our friend Brian back here posted last night about some houses being put up in less than a month and not letting the concrete have time to set, basically. And that's not wisdom, right? That's worldly, not wisdom. But Paul's saying, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about when in the deep and dark times that you experience in life, that your spirit is yearning for God, that your spirit is yearning for what is true, and that you have discernment in those things. What does discernment mean? It basically means that you and God are running together. The term Paul uses here in the Greek basically talks about two rivers coming together and flowing together. So we're discerning what God wants us to do and how God wants us to live and His will by the fact that we are walking with Him side by side, day by day, listening to what He has to tell us. And Paul is telling these Colossian Christians, I want you to understand that if you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, you have to walk with Him daily. You have to discern what he discerns. You have to hear what he says. You have to do what he says. So he says, I'm praying, number one, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and number two, that it, that is in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Number three, that you walk worthy of the Lord, verse 10. You walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Here's where the application of what Paul just said meets the road, where the rubber meets the road. This is where obedience kicks in. If you are walking with Christ, if you have this relationship with Jesus where you are submitting to him and knowing of his will and learning from the scripture and walking worthy of that and growing in discernment because you are walking with him day in and day out, then if you're doing this, then this will happen. You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And this is, and the word Paul uses here in the Greek is really, really strong. It's basically full ownership of life. So there are areas in my life that I can say that I don't always take full ownership of. Right? Husbands, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are areas in your life where your wife will say, hey, Colin, take out the trash. And you will take out the trash. It doesn't matter if Tessa tells you once or 500 times. But you don't necessarily take ownership of that until that 500th time, right? But what Paul, the word Paul is using here, basically says, no. You take full ownership and walk worthy of God in all your life, from beginning to end. That's where obedience, the term obedience comes in, right? There's no wiggle room. There's no room to say, oh, this area of my life, I'm not going to give to Christ. I'm not going to walk worthy over here. You know, this pet sin that I have, I'm not going to walk worthy. You know, I'm going to continue to read those magazines, go to those websites, do whatever. You know, it's okay. That's the part of my life that no one sees. Or you know, oh, I'm going to talk about this person because they're a really bad person, and I'm going to gossip about them because everybody needs to know they're a bad person. That's not a part of my life that I need to walk worthy in. Or, oh, nobody knows that I do this drug, or nobody knows that I overindulge in alcohol. Nobody knows all this stuff. So that's the part of my life that I'm not going to walk worthy in. What Paul is praying for these Colossian Christians, step by step, day by day. It's not that God wants part of your life. God wants your whole life. And Paul is saying, walk in full ownership of your life and having turned your life over to Christ. So number one, be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, in all of wisdom and understanding. Number three, walk worthy of the Lord. Number four, this needs to be fully pleasing to him. Verse 10, fully pleasing to him. Why does Paul pray this prayer for the Colossian Christians? He knows that they're working for Christ. He knows that they're living a Christian life. They're a good church. Why is he saying, walk worthy, fully pleasing to him? Because Paul knows the human heart. He has one, at least at this point, right? He knows that even well-intentioned Christians sometimes will begrudge the fact that they have to serve Christ. They would rather say, oh, you know, I don't want to do this for God. I don't want to share the gospel with my friend. I don't want to come to church and Sunday school and listen. I don't like that preacher because he's boring. The Word of God's never boring. The preacher may be, but the Word of God never is. Right? So there are times when we do this out of habit. Paul knows that. There are times when our service is a little bit of a grudge, like, oh, we got to go to church again. And don't think I don't suffer from that same thing. And don't think I don't know that you suffer from that same thing. We all do. Paul knew it too. Paul says, look, fully pleasing to God means this is willing service. This is doing it willfully. This is doing it out of love for Christ because you're walking with Him day by day and you see the joy that He gives you, because otherwise you would still be in the dominion of darkness, and He'll get to that in a minute, but you'll still be captive in your sin. So you need to walk in a way that is fully pleasing to God. That means you are willingly submitting to Him your entire life, not begrudging the fact that you have to do this. It's not that you have to, it's that you should want to, because it is a glorious thing when we get to serve the living God. I would much, much rather be serving God than serving sin. There was a preacher one time talk about, he had a small country church, beat up old car, was old, broke down constantly. The suits he wore were tattered. The clothes he had were old. He was not in fashion sense. You know, he didn't wear the latest and greatest. His house always had to have maintenance on it. And he went into town one day, and he got to looking, and at the liquor store, he saw, small town, he saw the owner of the liquor store pulled up in his nice Mercedes-Benz, shiny, had just got it washed, got out, he stepped out, and he saw this bright, shiny cowboy boot, new suit, watch that just was bling bling, right? Had all the latest stuff, had the latest phone, had the latest gadgets. He walks into the liquor store, and the preacher shared the story. He said, in that moment, for a short time, I asked God why. And he said, in my spirit, God kind of answered me. He said, the thought came in my head, and God seemed to be telling him, would you want to change places with Him? And the preacher at that point repented, because he knew he did not want to change places with that guy, because he knew where he was heading. He knew where he served. And God had to level set him. He had to correct his thinking. And from that point on, he said, I willingly serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I would much rather be imprisoned. I would much rather be poor, so poor that you can't even pay attention, than to be seen in the world as a superstar and have no hope of heaven. So fully pleasing to Him. Number one, be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Number three, walk worthy of the Lord. Number four, fully pleasing to Him. Number five, bearing much fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Verse 10. Paul here is saying, look, if you are growing in the knowledge of God's will, if you are learning in all wisdom and discernment, if you are walking worthy of the Lord in full obedience to Him, if you are fully pleasing to Him, then your life should start to bear fruit, spiritual fruit. This is fruit that is not going to fade away, whether it be the fact that you bear the fruits of the Spirit that Galatians 5 talk about, or like Paul in Romans 1 where he writes to the Roman church and Paul says, I want to bear fruit among you. He's speaking to believers. So they're already believers. It's not just spiritual fruit, meaning new converts. It's also the discipleship of current converts, because there are ways that we encourage one another, right? So let me give you an example. Yesterday we had a women's event here. Nick came, not because he wanted to listen to the event, but he served and he bore fruit because he was serving other believers. He was security. He helped with the food. He handled going to and fro and doing things. He was running around all over the place. He bore fruit. When you pray with your fellow Christian, when you pray for their family, you're bearing fruit. When you encourage someone, you're bearing spiritual fruit. When you help someone walk through whatever they're walking through, you're bearing spiritual fruit. But don't just stop there. Yes, you bear spiritual fruit when you share the gospel to a non-Christian friend. Bearing spiritual fruit. You bear spiritual fruit when you don't get mad when your wife asks you for the 5,000th time to take out the garbage. When your husband asks you to rub his shoulders because he's had a hard day at work and you don't get mad. Now, whether you do that or not, that's between you two. But you see my point. It's encouraging one another, taking care of one another, bearing fruit for one another in the Spirit of God. So being filled with the knowledge of God's will, Paul prays that they would have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prays that they walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing much fruit. Number six, growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God at the end of verse 10. So if all these other things are happening, these are kind of building and layering on one another, then we're going to grow again. Going back to the knowledge of God, you're going to have a deeper relationship. What does that mean? That means where you are today should be closer to Christ than where you were yesterday. And that's what Paul is praying for the Colossian church. Where you were a year ago should be closer, where you are now should be closer to Christ than where you were a year ago. That is why it's important for a daily walk for you personally. That is why it's important for us to gather together as corporate fellowship together and fellowship with one another so that we can grow weekly, daily, monthly, whatever the case may be, wherever the Lord brings, however the Lord brings to you. Because Paul is saying to these Colossian Christians, I want you to grow closer in the knowledge of God. You are already started that process. It is a process of movement. If you are static, that means you're what? Stale. You're not growing. Paul's saying, I don't want you to be a stagnant pond scum Christian. I want you to grow. And I'm praying toward that end. So that means our perception is better than it was a year ago. That means our discernment was better than what it was yesterday. That means we are walking closer, again, flowing with Christ, right? We're walking with Him like two rivers running together, and we are growing closer to Him day in and day out. So, filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, and then number seven, he says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Because here's the thing, as you're doing all this stuff and they're layering on top of one another, you're going to become more and more in tune with what God wants us to do in the world. And He's going to give you more and more spiritual gifts to be able to display His power. Right, it's not about you, however, it's about Christ. Pastor John MacArthur states it this way. Spiritual power is a mark of every Christian who submits to God's Word and the Holy Spirit. It is not reserved for some special class of Christian, but for all those who discipline their minds and spirits to study God's Word, understand it, and live by it. I want to read that again. Spiritual power is the mark of every Christian who submits to God's Word and the Holy Spirit. It is not reserved for some special class of Christian, but for all of those who discipline their minds and spirits to study God's Word, understand it, and live by it. End quote. So we are being strengthened day in and day out, which means, again, this is a journey. Paul knew this was a journey, and he's praying this for this Colossian church, that they be strengthened in God's power, and we have access to that power as we grow in our Christian walk and in our Christian faith. And then lastly, number 8, have great endurance and patience. Verse 11. Have great endurance and patience. So as we think about this, this is where steadfastness comes in. This is where our refocus theme comes in. This is where we understand that we are remaining under a weight. This is what Paul is praying for them. The Colossian Christians are remaining under a weight. So he's praying for their endurance. That's what this is. Strength under pressure is how you endure, right? And he's saying, I want you to have patience, which is long suffering, and endurance, which is this steadfastness or this weight under pressure, right? Pastor Mark Dever is quoted as saying, a lot of times victory looks like endurance. And this is what Paul is praying for the Colossian church. He knows they're walking with Christ. He knows they're doing what they should do. And he's saying, I am praying that you understand that as you do and learn God's will, as you understand the scripture, as you are long-suffering, as you are tapping into the power and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, I pray that you endure, that your flesh does not become weak or tainted again by sin, that you understand that you have to continue this trek because this is what we are called to do. So Paul prays those 8 aspects, or that's the 8 aspects that I want to talk about of Paul's prayer. And then in verse 13 and 14, Paul basically restates the gospel. Look back at those verses, verse 13. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him, in the Son, in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God rescues us. Think on that term just a little bit. It says that God has rescued us. That means we were drowning in our sins. That means you were stuck in the middle of a fire. Whatever horrible aspect it may be, think on that. And whatever horrible aspect you can think of, whether it be stuck in the middle of a burning building, whether it be falling to your fate off a cliff, whether it be drowning, whatever the most horrible thing is, the weight of sin, the dominion of darkness, is 1 billion times worse than the worst thing you can think of. And God rescues us from that through Christ Jesus. And he takes us and transfers us into the kingdom of his Son, into the kingdom of light. God loves the Son. Therefore, when the Son says, I have set my affection on Ralton and I've transferred him from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of my kingdom, then God wraps his arms around us and we are forever redeemed through the blood of Christ. So Paul is telling these Colossian Christians not only to, that is, he is praying for them, he is actually restating the gospel from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, into the kingdom of redemption for the forgiveness of sin. He is giving us the gospel again. Here's why. Every day you need the gospel, I need the gospel. You say, oh, I thought once I got saved, I didn't need to understand the gospel anymore. No. Remember, Paul's talking to Christians here. They've already been saved, and he's restating the gospel to them so they can refocus and remember what they need to remember. Now, you may ask yourself, okay, Ralton, I understand this is Paul's prayer to the Colossian church. How does this apply to me? Glad you asked. I'm going to ask Nick, if he would continue to help serve and hand everyone one of these cards, please. You can get Terry to help you. Grab you something to write with, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind. You don't have to use these cards necessarily, but I'm going to give you access to these cards. These cards are going to be, hand everybody a card. Yes. If you don't want to use a physical card, you can take out your phone and put it on notes, whatever the case may be. But I want you to apply this sermon as we refocus ourselves as a church. And I want to show you how we're going to do that. On that card or in your phone notes, and if you're listening to this sermon after the fact, whether it's a sheet of paper or if you have your phone, you can pull out your phone, whatever way that you can get something in front of you day in, day out, that's what I want this to be. Okay? I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4. Just write down four numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. After number one, I want you to put your name. So number one is you. So if it's Luke, number one is Luke Hall. Okay? After number two, write down my name, Ralton Emery. After number three, write down the name of someone in this church family that you want to pray for. So not you, not me, but someone else, right? So someone in this church family that you want to pray for. And then after number four, write down the name of someone that you know is not a Christian. So after number one, you have your name. After number two, you have my name. After number three, you have someone in this church's name that needs prayer. After number four, you have a non-Christian's name there that you know. We need to refocus as a church on what's most important. So the application of this sermon is this. Everybody look up here and pay attention. The application of this service is this. For the next 7 days until next Sunday, every day, you pray Colossians 9 through 14 for those four names. People sometimes will ask pastors or preachers, how can I pray for you? This will always be my answer from now on. Pray this passage for me. And I'm not being selfish. Paul actually asked the Colossian church in chapter 4 to pray for him. You should want to pray for your pastor. But you should also want to pray this first for yourself. Then for your pastor. Then for other members of the church. And then ultimately sharing the gospel and praying the gospel for someone who does not know Christ. This is how we pray and refocus on what's most important. We focus on God's word, we focus on Him, we gain a walk worthy of Him that is bearing fruit, we focus on God's strength, we walk in God's strength, not in our own, we gain more and more patience and endurance, and we focus on God's salvation. We never leave it. So whether you're listening to the sermon online after the fact, no matter when it is, do this for the next 7 days. If you find this card a year from now, do it for 7 days. Remember how you prayed for the next 7 days for those four names. That's how you apply this sermon. That's how we focus or refocus on what's most important. Let's bow our head in prayer. prayer to end the service is these verses. We ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We ask your help that we may walk worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of you. We pray for your strength with all power according to your glorious might, so that you and I, that these people here listening now and later on the internet, would have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to God the Father, who has enabled us to share with the saints in the inheritance of the light. And dear Lord, you have rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of Jesus, the Son he loves. And in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.